What does lead poisoning, smoking, asbestos, and fluoridation have in common? The Cold War. In this segment of Getting to Know with Robert Levine, we interview Peter Van Collart of Canadians Opposed to Fluoridation. Peter, how is the Cold War still affecting our drinking water?
Fluoridation is the remnant of Cold War chemistry. And the other remnants of Cold War chemistry were the use of asbestos, the use of lead in gasoline, the idea that smoking was not harmful to your health, the idea that substances that could be used for fertilizers or pesticides, like dioxin, like DDT, like thalidomide, to treat for morning sickness in women who were pregnant, that we had this idea at the time in the 50s that all problems could be solved with a chemical solution.
And the Prozac generation.
All of that. Yeah. And the interesting thing is that all of those mythologies around those products or devices or thinking have all proven to be fallacies. The only remnant left is the fluoridation of drinking water. Now, I have to state at this point that the word fluoridation is not synonymous with the word fluoride. And I want to be specific in this because it is the addition of fluoride-containing compounds to treated drinking water that I'm opposed to. It's unnecessary. It's ineffective. It's unneeded. It's unproven. It's unhealthy. Those fluoride compounds did not exist when the mid-20th century or the early 20th century discovery of fluoride naturally in water somehow was related to tooth decay prevention. We're not talking the same substances. And moreover, there is fluoridation that people can have in their lives that is of a benefit. That may be the selected use of specialty treatments in a dental office, the use of fluoridated dental products under the guise of professional care, where the patient is assessed, the dosage is controlled, the effects are monitored, and the outcome is measurable. I don't have a problem with that. That is a patient-dentist relationship. It's controlled. It's regulated. It's not without risk, but it does exist for specific cases. Mm-hmm. But with the fluoridation of drinking water, what we're saying as a society is we're going to give the municipality the power to do what any one single doctor cannot. We're going to give a municipality the ability to put a substance in the treated drinking water. So we're already taking water that's already been through all of the physical chemical processes needed to make water safe to drink. And then we're adding a substance at the end. And that substance is not pure. It contains co-contaminants that happen to be byproducts of making superphosphate fertilizer. So heavy metals are in there. Radioactive substances are in there. There's large amounts of arsenic and lead. And a whole bunch of traces of other stuff. And when we take an analysis of drinking water and we look at it, and then we take an analysis of drinking water after we've added fluoridating chemicals to it, there is a difference. And the difference is the water that was treated has now been degraded. And although the degradation is small because the amount of dilution is upwards 180,000 to 200,000 times, depending on which jurisdiction you're in, the degradation is small, the powers that be say, well, it's infinitesimal, it really doesn't make a difference. So drink it and don't worry about it, live your life. I could buy that argument, except for the fact that look at me, I'm a big man. So the amount of water I consume is going to be a lot different than the amount of water that an infant consumes. And what you're saying to me is, we're going to put the substance in the drinking water at one concentration, And we're going to ask the population to consume it at will, without their informed consent, without medical monitoring, without control of individual dosages, and without looking for repercussions to the health of other systems in the body because somebody has told us they think it's good to swallow it. Mm. Now, the fluoridation that I'm talking about in drinking water is about ingesting these chemicals. The fluoridation that dentists are talking about are all about topical applications of substances that get spit out into the waste receptacle of the dentist's office. There's a big difference between those. Now, there also is a big difference in the concentration of those two substances. But the point is, the effect that we know of, and we've known for at least 15 years, is that any benefit to the teeth whatsoever comes from topical application of the fluoride compound onto the teeth. And the amount that exists in drinking water is so infinitesimally small, it has no benefit. Mm-hmm. This we have proof of. Undeniable proof. Absolute, crystal, undeniable.
Peter Van Collart is the Vice President for Drinking Water Quality and Water Treatment with Canadians Opposed to Fluoridation. The COF is a not-for-profit association of professionals, scientific experts, volunteers, and affiliates working to educate the public about the health and environmental concerns related to water fluoridation. Their mission is to end water fluoridation Canada-wide. They bring a considerable cross-section of relevant experience, knowledge, and training to this matter. They deliver evidence-based information about water fluoridation to decision-makers to empower them to use it to the best interests of the public and to protect the vulnerable. My name is Robert Levine, and this has been Getting to Know.